Well, praise God. There's a lot to say sometimes.
We're being mobilized.
Yes. We are being mobilized.
We are being mobilized.
Mobilized. Gene's got a word, but we're going to move on now.
Time to get out there.
We'll move on now. We have been doing Holy Spirit driven. You see, the whole goal once you get saved, believe it or not, is to learn to be driven by Holy Spirit. That's the goal. As Christians, we want to surrender to God's will, and Holy Spirit doesn't do anything but God's will. So as we surrender to Holy Spirit, we become what? In alignment with God's will. And that's where God turns on the power. He turns on the power when you're aligned. If you're misaligned, you don't get the power. But when you come in alignment, God starts giving you the power to do the ministry he's called you to do. The power to receive, the power to give to others, the power to move and to demonstrate the works of God. Amen. Jesus said, the works I do, you will do, and? You think you're going to do that because you have a clever idea? Or because you're surrendered to God's will and purpose? That's what I'm talking about. So today, and for the next week or two, we're going to be talking about Holy Spirit. I want to introduce you to someone you already know, but I want to introduce you to someone that maybe you don't know well enough. Amen? Maybe we're not surrendered enough to Holy Spirit. I desire to be fully surrendered to Holy Spirit every day because that's what Jesus did. I think it's important for you to understand that Jesus needed Holy Spirit. Jesus is God. Jesus is God the Son. Jesus is part of the Holy Trinity. Jesus is God, and yet he needed something else. What makes you think that you can live your life without that something else? Holy Spirit wants to work through you more than you want him to work through you. And we need to change that by surrendering to Holy Spirit. Jesus, his spirit was God's spirit because he was God. So he already had God's spirit in him. And yet when he was baptized, the Holy Spirit fell upon him, but did more than fell, it stayed there. Why? Why did God's spirit need God's spirit? Because they have different functions. See, when you're born again, you're made into a new creature. You're made into a new creation. You have the Spirit of God in you. Your spirit man is changed the moment you are saved and give your life to God. But you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, filling with the Holy Spirit isn't to tickle your fancy or to make you famous. It's there to align yourself with God's will for your life. You see, we fell away from God. We fell away from God. We sin. We all sin. You say, I've never sinned. Well, sure. Have you ever told a lie? Have you ever stole something? Have you ever wanted someone to die? I mean, we've all sinned. We've all come short from the glory of God. And all religion wants you to earn the right to be accepted by God. Only Christianity says you can't earn it. There's no way for you to earn your salvation. You have to humble yourself and accept the work of Jesus Christ. Now, there's been nobody like Jesus Christ on earth before. No one. No one has ever done the miracles he did. No one has raised the dead like he did. There's been many people who said they were the Christ, but they didn't have the works of Christ. There's only been one man in all of history that have done the works that Jesus did. There's been only one person who fulfilled over 300 prophecies of the coming Messiah. They had to be born in a certain tribe, born in a certain place, born in a certain time. All these things Jesus fulfilled. He's the only possible one that could have fulfilled all those prophecies. Amen. There is no mistake who the Son of God is. There's a world out there that doesn't care. There's a world out there that wants to be their own God. They want to be in charge of their own life. But it's only through surrender do we get the grace of God. See, God doesn't want prideful people in heaven. God doesn't want people up there who are bickering and I did more works than you. Because all of it, all the glory goes to him. See, there's no bickering. There's no competition in heaven. There's no, like, I'm better than you in heaven. I saved more people than you saved. There's none of that. Because God is the great equalizer of us all. And we all give any accomplishments in our life to him. And therefore, we can't boast or claim it. Therefore, we become equal and love one another, and that's heaven. And the reason not everyone can go to heaven is because not everyone accepts those terms. And because you have a free will, because you can choose, God can't let you up in heaven if you're not willing to go to humble yourself and receive by grace his gift. If he did, then there'd be strife in heaven. There'd be arguing. There'd be anger. There would be competition. And heaven would no longer be heaven. There's only one way, and that's God's way. We may not understand fully his reasoning, his methods, but as we give ourselves over to him, it will be made clear to us. You see what I'm saying? When I first read the Bible, it was one thing, but when I received the Holy Spirit, it's like the Bible came alive. All of a sudden, everything made sense. All of a sudden, I started seeing why the wisdom of God, why he did things the way he did them. Because God, you can't see or comprehend the ways of God without the Spirit of God. Yeah. Holy Spirit is very, very important. So who is Holy Spirit? Why is he holy and not called something else? That's one of my questions. Like, God could have called him the Spirit of Righteousness. He could call him the Spirit of Knowledge. He could have called him all sorts of different ministries, but he called them the Holy Spirit. And what holy means is this, set apart. Yeah. Set apart for a purpose. Holy Spirit is not going to come and engage with you on your terms. He only engages with people on his terms because he's holy and he's set apart and he will not become part of something that he is not. So that's why we surrender to him. Amen? Because we want his ways, not ours. You don't surrender to your pastor. I'm not your Lord and Master. I'm not in control of this church. Holy Spirit's in control. Yes, I have some authority over the order of the service and things like that and disciplinary actions and stuff like that, but I'm not in charge. Ultimately, only Holy Spirit is in charge of this church. God is in charge. So who is Holy Spirit? Why is he holy, not something else? Why didn't they just call him, he's the good spirit or he's the happy spirit? He may be many of these things, but God determined he would be called holy because he wanted to set a standard and a expectation of our relationship with him, because Holy Spirit is here to do God's bidding, not ours. He is God. Not only that, what are Holy Spirit's limitations? So who is Holy Spirit? One of the three persons of the Trinity. Now, it's very important that we understand that Holy Spirit is a person. Yes. He's not some force that is moving through the land. He's not the force be with you. So that you can do whatever you want with it. So you can be a dark Sith thing, or you can be a light. Holy Spirit's not like that. He only empowers what God approves of. So you can try to use Holy Spirit. You can go up and try it. And there are other spirits that will mimic Holy Spirit.
Wow.
But there's only Holy Spirit will only do what the Father and the Son want. He is a person, and he has empowerment, and he is the empowerment to do the works of God. So his purpose is to do or to manifest the works of God. And that includes first with us, to transform us from the inside and the outside. What I love about Holy Spirit is he doesn't just live in you, he rests upon you. And he's squeezing you from both directions to bring transformation in your life so that you will become a new creature, a new person. So that you will begin to be more like Jesus every day of your life. He's described as the finger of God in the Bible. I love that description. He's the finger of God. Think about that. He goes to the place where he's needed. He's the contact point. He's that point that contacts something. I love that. He's the finger of God. What part did Holy Spirit play in creation? He was instrumental because he's the one that manifested it. Wow. So let me tell you this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and the darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the earth. The Hebrew word is merhefet, and it means like a bird flutters in the air in one spot. Just flutters. Holy Spirit was like, this is void, and God's going to do something about it. He's going to change this, and I'm ready. And so Holy Spirit was there. And then the Father had the vision. The Son spoke the word, and Holy Spirit did it. That's what I want you to understand. They're all in unity. There is no strife between any of the personages of the Holy Trinity. Matter of fact, why I think it's so amazing that God is triunal and not a singular entity or single person is for this reason. It's because he demonstrates what perfect relationship looks like. Not only does he demonstrate what perfect relationship looks like, he invites us into it. Think about that. God is inviting you into an eternal relationship with him, a perfect relationship, and the number one criteria is humility. Wow. Love and humility. Amen. Holy Spirit was actively involved in creation. One might say that, and I wrote this down, one might say that our Heavenly Father conceived it, Jesus spoke it, and Holy Spirit did it. Amen. Wow. Does that make sense? So the Heavenly Father conceived it. Ultimately, the Heavenly Father is the Heavenly Father. And whether you think of him as some guy with a beard and sitting on a throne, or, I mean, he's the Spirit, so he can be whatever he wants to be like, right? You know what I'm saying? He's not conformed to anything. He's the Heavenly Father. He existed before all things and will exist forever. He's unchangeable, immutable. He's unlike anything that we experience on earth, because everything we experience on earth is mutable, it's changeable. Yeah. But the Heavenly Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, they're never going to change. They already have perfection, and they're inviting us into it every day. Now listen, not doing it just for the unsaved. He's doing this for the saved. He's inviting you into that perfect relationship every day. He's saying, come, spend time with me. Come, be with me. Wait on me. Be a who I am. Be involved in what I am doing, and you will be transformed. When we take a step back, the transformation in our life slows down. When we take a step in, it speeds up. And we are transformed from glory to glory quicker and quicker. The more we step in, the faster we change. Yes. Why is it that one person does great things and one person does nothing? It's not because of the skills or because of any attribute you may have. It's because of your willingness to surrender to God. Because God takes the least of us and confounds the wisest of us. He takes the foolish and confounds the wise. Because God likes showing himself to be God. Not because he's trying to make you into a superhero or something. Because he loves to demonstrate that he is God for the purpose that none should perish, but all should come to repentance.
Right, amen.
In John 1:32, and I talked about this earlier, but we'll just touch on it again. John bore witness. I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove and remain on Jesus when he was baptized. Jesus needed the Holy Spirit to fulfill his ministry just as I and you do. Wow. We need Holy Spirit to fulfill our ministry. We can't do it on our own. We're not equipped to do it on our own. I can't heal an insect. I can't fix an amoeboid. I can't answer a prayer that I give, but Holy Spirit can.
That's right.
Notice that God the Son needed God the Holy Spirit to do his ministry, that the Spirit of God was in Jesus, but Jesus also needed the Holy Spirit on him to accomplish his mission. See, when you get born again, when people believed on Jesus after his resurrection, they were born again. They were new creatures. But Jesus said, now go and wait. For the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Go wait. Why? They weren't ready for ministry until Holy Spirit was given to them. And Jesus couldn't give it to them until he presented his blood before the temple in heaven. He had to present himself and his blood to heaven, and then Holy Spirit could descend, because now Holy Spirit was not, let's say, revolted by our sinful nature because of the blood of Jesus. The Holy Spirit's a person because, and let me just say some of these things, Holy Spirit thinks like a person. Holy Spirit can be grieved. Holy Spirit chooses to who he gives things to. Holy Spirit teaches. Holy Spirit comforts. The Holy Spirit commands. The Holy Spirit has the attributes of a person. Therefore, Holy Spirit is a person. So how much did Jesus emphasize Holy Spirit? Just mentioned this a minute again, but we'll go over the scripture. Acts 1, 4 through 8. Let's go ahead and put that up. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. Now, some very important words here. To wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. That's so awesome. You have to think of the dynamics of the Father who conceives and the Son who speaks it into existence. Next verse. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire, it says in other renditions, not many days from now. Next verse. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Next verse. And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. Next verse. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. He didn't say in you here. Pay attention. He said upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. You receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now, many of you ministers, you felt this. I feel it when I come up and preach. I have the Holy Spirit in me, but when I come up here, there's an anointing to preach, and that anointing falls on me, and I'm empowered to speak far better than I could on my own. Thank God for you guys. But you're empowered as well. It's not just a pastor's thing. Every time you set yourself to be obedient to God, to do his will, you have an empowerment. See, the Holy Spirit doesn't come just once to baptize you. He keeps coming over and over again. And when you shift ministries, when you shift things, there's a new anointing, a new power that comes in you, that comes upon you, that empowers what you're doing. And God will confirm that anointing with great works if you will have the faith and trust and belief in him. Amen. Not to give man glory, but to demonstrate that the word, the message you are telling is the true message from him. Amen? So where are we at? What verse were we on? Okay, see, power when the Holy Spirit comes. Good. The empowerment of the church will not be from intellectual training. Here's my thing about sensationalism. I'm just going to say it out there for those that have come from cessationist churches. What was begun in the Spirit can only be completed in the Spirit. You cannot exchange intellectualism for the power and the power and might of the Holy Spirit. You can't switch it. You know, what happens is we feel very safe in intellectualism because we know what we know. And maybe I've studied a little harder than you, so I can come up there and do my fancy Greek and Hebrew, you know what I'm saying? And really, like, I don't use a lot of that in this church on purpose because that's not where the empowerment comes from. It's not the subtle changes or gradients of color between what was written in the original Hebrew and the English, because actually the translations are pretty good. And Holy Spirit makes up for any differences. He puts it in our heart. So it's not important for me to prove how intellectual I am to you. What's important is that I'm led and motivated and empowered by Holy Spirit, because that's what's going to cause transformation in your life. Not whether I come out here and try to be, you know, super clever. Because with knowledge comes, what, pride. And you get lifted up. With Holy Spirit comes humility. See, I'm not sitting there going, I'm so hot. I'm like, man, Holy Spirit was powerful today. Thank God I submitted and surrendered to him. Amen? Matter of fact, Jesus even said this. Let's read the scripture in John 16:7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Now, This is a very interesting scripture. Let me tell you why. Jesus is saying, look, physically, how many of you like to walk with Jesus physically on earth? Oh, all of you would if you're a Christian. I would love to sit at his foot. But he's saying right here, look it, it's better for you that I leave physically and the Holy Spirit show up spiritually. It's better that the helper comes and I stay. Because I don't do with that. See, there's different functions between the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so he said, look it, I have to go so he can come, because I got to go up there and intercede for you and present my blood and my sacrifice so that the legal demands are met for you to be accepted as righteous in me. So I need to go do that. But Holy Spirit's coming. He's going to empower you. Instead of one Jesus on earth teaching, I'm going to have 12 little Jesuses running in every direction. Do you see what Holy Spirit does? He takes us and empowers us to do the works. Jesus said, the works I do, you'll do, and greater. He's empowering you to do the greater works. Because he doesn't want one Jesus on earth. He wants millions of Jesuses on earth. So he's telling us, hey, it's better that I'm gone and Holy Spirit's here than I'm here and Holy Spirit's not. That's a really powerful statement. And it really needs to be understood that the best thing you can have is not a visitation of Jesus. The best thing you can have is surrender to the Holy Spirit.
Yes, amen.
Because it's in that surrender that you align yourself with the power and the anointing of God, and that's when the cool stuff starts happening.
Yes. Really awesome. Amen.
And you don't need to be ordained. And you don't need to be a pastor. You just have to be a laid down lover. You just have to surrender to the will of God. And you don't surrender just in the areas that's comfortable. You specifically surrender in the areas that is uncomfortable.
Wow. Yes.
Because those are the areas holding you back.
Yeah. That's good. Wow. Wow. That's really good.
There's more here. No. I want you guys to be empowered today. I don't want to go on to the next part. I want you to be empowered. I want you guys to know you don't need to hear more from me. You need to hear what I just said. You need to know how important that is. God is not holding it back from you. God isn't sitting there going, I'm not going to empower you with the Holy Spirit right now. God wants to empower you. Jesus said, man, it's better for me to go so that you're empowered so you can go do what you were meant to do. The only way that Pastor Clayton could ever do whatever he is, could ever do what he does, is because Holy Spirit is working through him. That man is a machine when it comes to going out witnessing and representing the kingdom of God. That man's an evangelist without equal that I know of in this area. He's amazing. And I call him one of my Mount Rushmore pastors. He doesn't like it. He says, oh, you blah, blah, blah. But I do. I really do, because he's been working with the homeless. And he's helping these people transform their lives. And now they're becoming evangelists and they're doing great works. And I'm telling you, when this life is done, when it's all over with, when you're dead, the only thing that's going to matter is what you did for Christ. How comfortable you were, how big your house was, how big your car was, you know, how famous you were, how well you were known, none of that's going to matter. Jesus said, oh, you had 55,000 followers on YouTube. Oh, well, I guess you can come on in. That's not how it works. He's going to sit there and he's going to look at one thing. He's going to say, have you learned to receive my love? Have you learned to receive my love? That's what he's going to want to know. Have you learned to receive my love? Did you receive my love, my son? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes on him should have eternal life, should not perish, but have eternal life. Love is sacrifice. Love is allowing yourself to be given to others.
Yes.
It's not about emotion or feeling. If it was about emotion and feelings, me and Jeannie would have probably split up years ago. Not that we don't love. But it's a commitment to each other. So, no. It's a commitment to each other, because when the bad times come, you don't split up. You hear what I'm saying? When the tough time comes, you know that this is your, that, that you have a covenant with this person. And even though you may feel like running, or she may feel like running in this case, but whatever the case is, we stay together because that's what love does.
Yes.
And you know what? The feelings come back. The feelings come back. There are times where ebbs and flows in every relationship. And you'll find that even with God. That there will be ebbs and flows with your relationship with God. But stay with the covenant you've made. Stay with the commitment. Stay with the statement of faith that you have proclaimed publicly. Stay with what you have done. Stay to the end and you will be rewarded with eternal life. And not just that. There are treasures. There are things in heaven that no mind has conceived of. No heart has dreamed of. There are things in heaven that are so amazing, we can't even begin to know them. And God is holding them that way for a purpose. Because he's calling us into that. He wants us, when we come into heaven, it says that in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. The fullness of joy. You can't get any happier. You're not going to be sitting on a cloud playing some stupid harp for the rest of eternity. God's a creative God. He's got plans for you. You're going to be doing things. Some of the ladies will be dancing with them, but I plan to put on my sword and say, "What's up, Lord? What are we doing next?" You know what I'm saying? Men got to be men. Women got to be women. It's going to be whatever it is up there. But it's going to be awesome. Some people talk about their mansion, but man, I don't know, man. I just want to hang out in the temple. So, guys, be where you want to be. You know what I'm saying? Let's close our eyes, bow our heads. Holy Spirit is moving. There's people here. I feel that there's one person here has a real financial, a number of people have financial crunches, and God says, look to me for that. Look to me for that. He's saying, look to me for your finances. I have a provision for you. I've never created one child that I didn't have a provision for their life. You are not going to starve. You are not going hungry. You will have a place to live. The Lord is on your side. Be at peace and know that as you seek me, all these things will be added to you. There's several in here of medical issues. I just want to let you know Holy Spirit is there moving. Even if you're not here today, even if you're absent, but you're in this congregation, God is moving. We're believing God for miracles. We're believing God for amazing, amazing works and demonstration of his word. I know my son-in-law, his mother, Karen, just recently found out she had a tumor in her mind, aggressive tumor, and that the doctors are giving her a year or less. And we say, no, thank you. We don't accept that. We thank you, Father, for touching her and healing her right now in Jesus' name. I want to tell you right now, there's people in here that have all sorts of medical conditions. Man, if you're over 60, you've got to have something. So whatever it is, just know that God is with you. You know what? God's transforming. He's transforming me. And he's healing me. He's healing you right now. Now, in a moment, we're going to call up the prayer team, but I want you to know this. I want you to know that I want people that have never been baptized in the Holy Spirit to come on up. Me and my wife and whoever else is here will come up. We want to introduce you to Holy Spirit in a more powerful, personal way. And he comes to everyone who humbles himself and asks. So if you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we'll be working together. And so, yeah, of course we want prayer team. Also, I want to say this, and this is the last verse I want to mention tonight, but it says here in Acts 4:12 that there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There's only one name, and that name is Jesus. With every eye closed, every head bowed, I'm going to give an invitation now to receive Jesus Christ. Look, this isn't religion. No one's asking you to, on your own power, to live up to a standard. I don't care what clothes you have on. I don't care what sins are in your life. If you'll humble yourself and come to God, he will forgive you, and he will bring eternal, lasting life into your life. He will make a relationship with you. You'll begin to hear his voice. You'll begin to feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. You'll be like, this is real. This is real. Like, just like the pastor said. I've been telling you all, it's real. It really is real. I have personally been visited. I know that the spiritual world is there. And I want to tell you that it is real. It's more real than this place. This place that lasts but for a short time. The place where God exists lives, exists forever. So with every eye bowed, every heart open, if you want to receive Jesus, say this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me so much that you would send your only begotten Son. Today, I repent of my sin, of my bad thoughts and evil actions. And I thank you for forgiving me as I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for loving me, accepting me, and forgiving me. In Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you said that for the first time and you meant it with your heart or made a significant recommitment, on the count of three, I'm going to have you raise your hands as an act of faith so that you can establish that commitment in faith. Because action and faith are one thing. They are together. If you believe something enough, you'll act on it. Count of three, raise those hands up. One, two, three. Let me see those hands go up. Hi, those are mine. I see those hands. God bless you. Go ahead and put those hands down. May the Lord bless you. Listen, come to church. Stay in communion with us. Stay in fellowship with us that we can help you grow in your faith. Amen. Next month, we're starting Growth Track in November, and I'll take you through a short course. We'll have sandwiches and stuff afterwards. Be prepared for that. Come each Sunday in November and be a part of that. And stand up with me as I dismiss. Those that need prayer, I want Holy Spirit, come on up. Heavenly Father, bless this congregation. I pray that your Holy Spirit will fill them, will come upon them in great power. And as they leave this place, Father, they will fill them power to do new things in you, whatever it is that you're calling them to, new witnessing, new boldness to go across the street and meet their neighbors, whatever it is, Father, let them go now in that empowerment now. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We'll see you next time.